January 30, 2017, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:01 p.m., Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02 p.m.
Kevin, you're on. You're live.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to start the Dakota County Board of Equalization at 3:01. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kevin?
Call roll.
Kevin?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill is absent. Scott?
Yes.
Tony is absent.
I'll make a motion to excuse Tony and Bill from the meeting today.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with the consent agenda and the approval of the minutes from January 17, 2017.
So moved on the consent agenda items.
Second.
Roll call. Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. Jeff Curry requesting the board to approve the omitted property and tax roll corrections.
Sorry. Taking up the whole table out there. You are, not me.
Man, that looks like a lonely group up there today.
It's just fine.
All right, this is what we started in our last BOE meeting. We're just going to go through the rest of them here.
Yeah, we cut it short, didn't we, last time?
Yeah. We got. So, and I think we have to, and I'm not sure if we have to, if we can wait and go through them all and then do one motion, or do we have to do a motion on all of them?
I'll ask Kim or Joan that question.
I'm not entirely sure.
What's that?
I would do a motion.
You do what, Kim?
I would do a motion.
Can
we
do one?
These are tax roll corrections, so it'd either be for a clerical or a omitted property. Oh, I had a statute and I didn't have my one. 77-1507, it looks like.
I don't have a list.
I think that's the next meeting.
Oh.
All right, thank you, though.
There's a couple chairs in the front row if you guys want to come up and sit up front. Or... Come on up front. Don't be shy.
I'm not sure I do each one.
Okay. It really doesn't say, Cam. It just says they can meet at any time. I know the statute, as far as I go, I have to get their approval before we can move on.
Fred did it.
Man, Fred. Assessor's office and the roads department, notorious enemies.
What do you have to do on each other?
You can blame Fred.
I know. I mean, so do I. If it's not me, it's you, so why not?
Do we have a list, Jeff, or what?
Yeah, we're going to go over them. Actually, what this will come to you guys in is this has to be done legally in a triplicate format, so there's an official book. So what today is, I'm just going to read them off to you one at a time, which parcels are going to... Because what this does is it changes the 2016... If somebody received a tax... Or when you receive your tax statement in 2016, these can change that. So we're going to have to reissue a new tax statement. They're going to get 30 days to protest, so we could get another protest process, too, on it. So that's why you guys got to do the approval first. So, and I think the clerk has, it's just like a protest. Then the clerk has 7 days to send out the ruling, what we decide.
Do you have a list for us to follow along? Or?
Actually, no. It's just parcels is all it is.
Okay.
I mean, do you guys want a list? We can dump them into a list for you.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's okay with you, Kevin, and Marty.
Yeah, whatever you guys want. Yeah, I mean.
No, that's fine.
Because as we call the motion, we still have to bring the book back to you guys. You guys get a copy, I get a copy, the clerk gets a copy. I believe it's something like that. But so the first three that we're going to talk about, and we already did them last week. My concern was we didn't call a motion on them. They were all for the city of South Sioux. And they were all parcels that we had moved off of their exempt list and put them as taxable. They called us. We went back out and inspected them, and they are still exempt. They're not being used. They're not for sale.
Okay.
So those are basically just going to go to exempt. So this would be three parcels that would come off of the tax list on that. And you guys, and I, Kevin, you signed it last week, but we never called a motion on the parcel numbers. So I don't know if we want to go back and do that again.
So give us the three parcel
just
numbers.
Just to be safe. It's all the same owner. It's South Sioux City. It's going to be parcel 12201-72757. Parcel 22003659-4. And parcel 22014-1576. And what it is one of these is the old post office building that they used to rent out. It doesn't have a tenant, and they don't have a future tenant plan for it. One of them is a vacant lot. They bought as a lot they bought. They took a house down on that was red tagged, and the lot sits empty now. They don't know what they're going to do with it, so it's not generating income. And the other one was a house they did purchase, but it's not currently being rented. They bought it up, I think.
Is that the one on G Street?
Not the one on G, it's actually over behind the fire hall, the old fire hall back in there.
Okay.
And it just sits empty now. And I'm not sure what the purpose was other than maybe for expansion because it's behind the city building and everything else. So I think eventually it could be torn out and added parking.
Okay, so I'll make a motion on the three parcels owned by the city of South Sioux City to be exempt. Do you want me to read the parcel numbers or what Jeff just stated for the three? You okay with that?
Yeah.
Read them? Okay. I'm going to do the three parcels. The one is 12201-7757, and the other one is 22003659-4, and the last one is 22014-1576. Those three parcels of South Sioux City be exempt. That's my motion.
I second it.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, the next one is for the Community Development Agency. This is one, it was a little old house that sat over there behind McDonald's that got bought and they pushed it in. We had it as taxable because they tried to sell the lot last year. They couldn't sell it. It's off the market now. I think they're talking about doing something just for the city with it now. But generally, a CDA property is taxable. This one, however, they do qualify, and as it doesn't generate income, it comes off the books. And it is parcel 22001-7646 for the South Sioux City Community Development Agency.
Okay, I'll make a motion on that parcel 22001-7646.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, the next one. The next two are both in Homer, and these are going to be omitted property. A neighbor brought this to our attention. And what it is in Miller Edition, up there on the hill, there's a group of five lots. And what had happened at one time, these two lots here were actually split, and they were going to try to sell these back pieces. They, at one point, I think it was Mr. Sherman had it. Mr. Sherman then ended up not being able to sell them because of access, so he gave them back. And nobody picked it up and then actually reset the lot size from this to this. So it's omitted property and a clerical error. So basically we're adding another, a couple thousand square feet of lot land here back into the county's budget, okay, or into the county's tax roll. And these were, like I said, both clerical, both omitted, and the parcel numbers are 22006296 and 22006385.
6385?
Yep.
6385. Okay, so this is a correction and an addition for a couple acres.
Yeah, for some more land.
Okay.
Yep. That had been omitted.
And it's the Miller Edition?
It's up in the Miller Edition.
Okay, so that's going to be part of my motion on 22006296, and the other partial number is 22006385.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Good. And the next one is the Beardshear Family Living Trust, parcel number 22027384. And what this was, it was actually an estate settlement. They took one chunk of land and broke it into six different pieces. And in that survey, when we data inputted it, we actually inputted one parcel size twice. So instead of having two 19-acre parcels, one of them should have been a 24.
So it's a correction.
So they brought it to our attention, and we corrected it and raised the acres back up to 24.
Okay.
On this one.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to the correction on the acreage, correct, on the size?
Yeah.
Of 22027384. Is that correct? Right number?
73846.
Yep, 73846, that's my motion.
Okay. Second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
How many more you have, Jeff?
There will be four.
Okay.
The next one is for G&G Services in Jackson, Nebraska. They did a split on a lot between G&G Services and Gill Construction.
Okay.
And what had happened is before, when it was all, the whole lot was under Gill Construction, they had a block building that sat out there on the lot. So G&G just had it as what they call an IOLL, or an improvement on leased land. After they split it, G&G got the land. The building should have come off of the IOLL and been placed onto this lot, which did happen. The problem is nobody killed the IOLL, so they were paying for the building twice. So we killed the IOLL, and it's just down to one building and one lot. And that parcel is 22015190.
Okay, so a correction on, make a motion on the correction on 22015190 between G&G and Gill Construction.
And second.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
The next group is all out here in Dakota Crossings, where the Morton buildings are.
Right down the road down here?
Right down the road. Oh, I'm sorry, which way am I
going? That's
right. I'm the assessor. I don't know where anything is at. So what had happened, this is another one. A taxpayer came into the office with some concerns, so we went out and did some research and found some clerical errors. Three are going to go together. Actually, we'll just do them individually. So, Ken and Diane Rose have a building out there. And what they did is the lot values out there are $15,000.
Yep.
Mr. Rose split his lot, so it should have went to $7,500 and $7,500. Well, the system recounted at $15,000 and $15,000.
Okay.
So we have to change it back to $75,000, $75,000 for a total of $15,000.
Okay.
For this year.
Okay.
On that. So in that parcel number or numbers is 2202-73752. 2202-73851. And that would be the vacant parcel and the parcel with his building on it, resetting both those values to $7,500.
Okay. I'll make a motion for the Rose property that was divided and the correction of $7,500 on each side of 2202-73572 and 2202-73581.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Okay, and then during that process, it was also brought to our attention that three buildings that were up actually before Mr. Rose's buildings were not actually on their tax list, or was on our tax list. They did not roll. We're not sure why. So we went back, verified it, so we need to put on three new Morton buildings out there that were completed by January 1 of 2016 into the tax roll. And one of them will be for Robert's Siding and, I forget what they call it, Robert's Siding and Windows, 2202-73756. Mr. Doyle Parrish at 2202-73753. And Mr. Scott Bierman at 2202-73760. And all three of those buildings were missing, omitted property, should have been on the tax roll and did not get rolled.
A situation like that, is that a square footage price or what do they do?
Yeah, with that building, yeah. So we look at it. Those are a little bit trickier because most of them are built kind of like a toy shed. So mm-hmm. they have like an office with cable TV in it that's mm-hmm. heated and cooled. So that's a little different square foot price, but we treat the rest of the building the same as okay. anybody else's work building.
Okay.
Okay, so the three properties, you got Robert Siding. Did you say Doyle Van Dyke?
Oh, I'm sorry, Doyle Parrish.
Doyle Parrish. And then you have Scott Bierman.
Correct.
So the Roberts is 2202-73576. And yep. we'll do the Doyle Parrish at 2202-73752. And then lastly with Bierman of 2202-73760, adding them to our tax roll.
That's correct.
That's my motion.
Second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. So that's what we should have covered last week, or 2 weeks ago? Is that
yeah.
what you're saying? Okay.
All of those were ready then.
Okay.
And since it's an annual thing, what I'll do if it's easier for you guys, I'll just put them in an Excel spreadsheet so you guys can just check them on as we go in the future, so that works.
Okay, is that all you had on that one, Jeff?
Yep, that's it for the tax roll corrections.
Okay, we have you again to present the board a list of applicants and recommendations for exempt or non-exempt status.
We have a list. But I did not make copies. There you go. So what that is, that's our permissive exempt properties. Those are religious, charitable, or educational institutions who can qualify to have exemptions on their parcels. If we can prove there's no profit being made.
Is that considered a 451A form?
Nope. That, yes. Yes, it is. No, I'm sorry. This one here, which one? Are we doing permissive exempts or were we doing?
It says 451.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, these are your permissive
exempts. If you read the whole.
Yeah, the permissive exempt application.
Am I going out of order, you guys?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, so basically the 451As, you guys, we don't need any action on. Those are reaffirmations of what we approved last year.
Okay, so it says requesting board's approval or disapproval on the possibly new permissive Form 41A applications. So we don't need to take action on that then?
Nope, I just turn in a list to you guys and tell you I've reviewed all of those, that they've been verified to still be exempt. The only note on there you'll find in the list, we had one church sold a house that they had some sisters living in. That went back to private owner, so that comes off the books. And we have one more on there that's going to be covered now in the 451, that's Prairie Haven, that I disapproved. And I'll present those now. So the five I have now are called, they're back to that 451 where the board actually has to make a motion, and I'll give you guys get the originals of those. But I'll run through them real quick for you. The reason we have Wall Street Mission in here, which is Goodwill Industries. Two of the parcels are for the camp they have out there, and one of them's for their store up on the avenue. We made them do 451s because last year, the year they were supposed to file a 451, they tried to just do a reaffirmation. So this year we made them actually fill out a form 451 to get through the process to actually be approved, so then they can reaffirm for the next three. So all of those I approved. They all are charitable organizations and qualify by statute to be exempt.
And we don't have to make motions on these.
Yeah. And so I just did three. That's all Goodwill. So I was one entity.
All three are Goodwill property.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to do them one at a time or.
What's your recommendation?
If, you know, like Kim said earlier, maybe we should just.
So your recommendation on what to do?
Oh, they're all good.
They're good.
They're all good. They're covered by statute, so we're covered. Okay. And on those forms, there are justifications. So if you. Going through them, you'll kind of see what they turned in. You'll see my signature, and if there was anything abnormal, I'd put comments on there for you.
So we just need to make a motion for the three properties on the Goodwill Industries that go off of Jeff's recommendation for the exemption. Right? Easy enough. Okay, that's my motion.
Second
it. Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
So let's take care of B then?
We got just a few more to go through here. I'm sorry. So the next new Form 451, which is a new application for the First Lutheran Church. They bought that little brick house across the street from them to be a parsonage. So that goes on the books as religious and will come off of our tax list books.
Okay. Is there a number on that one?
Yeah, that one will be 22005577.
You sure the church wants that number? 777?
Number.
That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
I'll make a motion to have parcel ID 22005577 put on the tax exempt.
Okay, I'll second that.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
The next one is Centro Cristiana Nueva Esperanza. I'm sure I abused that. This is that chunk of land down along G Street. They put up a fence and a church sign there now, and they do outdoor services. They needed to refile a 451 because last year there was no evidence they did anything, so it wouldn't have qualified. But now that they can actually, if you hold a service on the land, you qualify. So they had to refile this year, and their parcel number is 22003038, and they qualified under statute of religious.
Okay, so on another 451, parcel number 22003038, they qualify under religious exemption?
Mm-hmm.
Because they hold one?
Well, yeah, that's all they need.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's my motion to accept your recommendation on their exemption.
I'd second it.
Last one, I did
Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Marty?
Yep.
Got it.
Yes. The last one is for Prairie Haven, Inc., 3100 West 4th Street. And they had gotten it in the past, but I, when we reviewed it this year, I went back and did some research on it. And what it is, it's a low-income housing development. We have several of those. So they actually qualify for a different, it wouldn't be exemption, but a different method to value them. As low-income Section 8, they only rent houses to people 62 years or older, and their income can only be 50% of what the average median income is. So we would do an income approach on them against just what they pay. So if rent's $400 a month and they only can afford to pay $200, they pay $200. The institution still gets compensated back $200 from a different entity, but we would do an income just on the $200. And they had been 100% exempt in the past, but they
so they're getting their full price, but the people are only paying half.
Yeah.
So therefore, we only expect to get half the taxes.
Yeah, it's
that
a tough statute. Yeah, it's bad.
That makes no sense.
A lot, and we're getting more of these too. These what they call low income type housings. Liberty Place is one. Cherry Ridge is one. We're probably sitting at about six of them now. And it generally cuts your value. It'll take a $26 million project.
Tiffs and old people. They're a burden on the tax.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I'm getting old, but but.
I'm just kidding. When no, I say that. Whatever.
But what I did for you guys is I actually pulled off their website. They are a what I call for profit business. They even claim to be for profit on their website, and it tells you exactly they have 25 units. They're all one bedroom units. They all rent for $405. They have a waiting list, so they're full. So they're generating income month over month. And they actually have hired Selden Company, who is a very big property management company, and they don't work for nothing. So I turned them down for a full exemption based on charitable because it's not charitable if you claim to be a for-profit entity. So
you turned them down.
Yeah. So my recommendation is no, but and then the reason I said no is attached to the back for you guys. Oh, I didn't get the parcel numbers up in the right there for them.
Parcel is 22004864.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to go off of Jeff's recommendation on parcel number 22004864 on the Prairie Havens on 3100 West 4th.
As?
Huh?
Not
as. I'm sorry? I went with his recommendation of no.
Yes, I...
Sorry, I thought I'd second that.
Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On this? Second, third page.
Good of course, 3140 West 4th Street, anyway.
That's supposed to be in the
place. I'm for sure where that was at.
Yeah, actually, these are the people who've been filing for them, and I think that's
okay.
Because it said Goodwill. I think residence? People have just been saying
sounds
you're
like
exempt
it.
Because Goodwill has.
Okay. However, because we have previous Goodwill stuff.
Yeah, which those three are. However, this Goodwill, they only file the paperwork. If you look at them, they have their
what's that?
Request to me the address, just out of curiosity.
Where's that located at?
West 4th.
3100 West 4th in Sioux City, Iowa.
Well, that's on, sir. No, that's their address. I read the company's address.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Prairie Haven.
Let's see, they're actually... It's off of, you turn off of
Six
Street.
Six
about 14th and 15th and a half.
Yeah.
There used to be Lorianne and
Lorianne apartments next, but if you go back behind it, there's a little.
Oh, yeah. Down
back
yeah.
In there.
Yeah.
You okay. Can see them from G Street. It's hard to see them from F.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll call. Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, so are we done with B now?
Yep.
Told you it was a Jeff show today.
All right, you're up again for requesting the board to approve a contract with Tax Valuation Incorporated.
All right, this is for, you kind of touched on this in the previous meeting, our neighborhood 100 and 200, the older homes that were a little lower valued. So what this contract does is actually rework all the sales and all the depreciation studies to help us reset that value. What we've already done on the contract in the office was we've done all the field inspections and desktop reviews, changed all the data as far as quality, condition, and got caught up. And right now we've gained about $10.9 million in value just between those two neighborhoods.
Which you're not done with them
that's
yet?
About $225,000.
So are you done with them yet or not?
No. What that basically does is add about $3,000 to every house. But, and Scott, if you and I talked about, we looked at a couple of them in 110, and right. they need to go way up more than three.
Right.
So we expect another significant jump above that. But that at least got the data correct. Now comes the technical part in the math where we actually got to do a lineal regression analysis, pull all the sales again. And I don't have the staff or the time. So I'm working the ag, and the other part of my staff's on the commercial, so we need these guys.
What do you think the money's going to be on this deal? I mean, just...
Right now, the worst-case scenario, let's say they came in and said it's perfect, it would be 10.9, because I've already done that, and I know it. But I would anticipate another 7%. Just guessing.
Okay. And then what's the tax valuation? How much money do you think it's going to
be? It would be about $25,000. So right now, as it sits, we've already paid for it and have a net gain of $10,000 before we even do that.
Tax Valuation, Inc. is a third party that does this type of work.
Yeah.
Being a new board member, is it somebody that you guys deal with in the past? So it's
it's the same company we're doing the commercial reappraisal with, so they're very familiar with the county.
And they did a lot of our protests last year, too.
Yeah. I was in the earlier meeting. You said that contract is ending it this year then?
Yeah, for commercial, next year. So 2018, we're going to re-roll all commercial across the entire county.
Okay.
Yeah, and that goes away.
And then what about ag? What year does that?
There's no reappraisal. Ag, we're doing, we're still maintaining that 100% in-house. So we're good there.
Thank you.
So it's a one-time deal for 25. Normally with our budget situation, I wouldn't bring it up, but... Like I said, it's already going to net us plus 10.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't go up another dime, it nets us plus 10.
And
so
I think
the return on investment's already there.
And the little bit that I know, I'm not going to get into full details, but it should be more than 10.5.
Yeah.
I think, anyways.
I've already done a lot.
I mean, I'm not the assessor. I'm not a tax evaluation guy. But from my recollection of what was lost down in that area...
Yeah, because you and I, we've looked at it.
Yeah.
Together, so you've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it should increase. But
we need to finish. That's what the 25 is for. So the 10 we've already netted, that's the return on that investment.
After our last evaluation, whatever that increase was, roughly 30?
I think so. Maybe just a hair under, right in there.
Okay. All right, so listen, this is what I want to do, unless anybody wants to talk about it, but I will make a motion to approve the contract with Tax Evaluation for the residential study that's coming up on sections, what was it, one?
Neighborhood 100 and 110.
No, 100 and 110.
They're the two oldest neighborhoods in South, so that's where the damage was.
Yeah. Okay, that's my motion.
I'll second.
I think I'm done. Sorry.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, that'll be it for new business. Next is any mail or emergency business.
I love
the job. Nothing? Okay, I will be open for public comment.
I don't think we'd rather let the assessor talk again. That's a public comment from the assessor. You guys can take that or leave it.
No.
Okay, no other public comment?
Okay.
We'll adjourn the Board of Equalization meeting at 3:35.
Okay, we are adjourned there. So let's see, we're going to open up, we're going to start the meeting for the Board of Commissioners. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill is absent.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to excuse Bill and Tony from this meeting.
Second.
Call roll, please, Joan.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the wall in the entrance over there if anybody cares to follow along with us. We're going to go into consent agenda items. The approval of the previous minutes of January 17th of 2016 of 17.
Sorry.
But anyways, okay. And then approval of the payroll claims and the approval of accounts payable if there was any. And I went through the payroll and everything is kosher, so I need a motion for the consent agenda items.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, a motion by Kevin. And a second by Marty.
Yep.
Marty.
Call roll.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, new business, Pat Wojcik. She's here today. Siouxland Coalition Against Human Trafficking and the information aboard about the group and the group's efforts to educate the community. And I seen in the news this morning.
Yes, we have a good ad out there.
Wow.
So I know. You know, first of all, I couldn't make it last week because we had a snowstorm. So I thank
That's
you,
fine.
Commissioners, for accepting our proclamation.
Yes.
And so it's fun. And it's nice to be here on this issue. But you know what, guys? I wanted to come for a minute here because I do have some brochures we'd like to hand out. But I'm new to the committee, only about 6 months. And I tell you what, I was so naive to know what really happened in our Siouxland community, Sioux City, South Sioux City, and Dakota County on the trafficking of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So we're very proactive out there. We have displays at different facilities that you can actually see. But what our goal is to educate people what to look for. You know, we know that it's not something that we can probably get rid of. We'd love to. But what we can educate the community to look for and to give them numbers to call.
Yep.
So we've been making, we have displays all over the community. We've been meeting with even hotel managers. We were quite surprised too on all that too, but hotel managers to train, so they can help train their employees what to watch for and give them numbers to call and so forth. But it's really something, and I was very naive on how much activity really is in this area.
I recall of seeing a show in a big city,
uh-huh.
And the show on the trafficking, how it works, and you would never think,
uh-uh.
And Siouxland or the area, that you just think big cities, you know, and maybe along the borders or whatever the case may be, you know, is where the TV shows are at. So,
right.
And I seen this on the news this morning, and I was half asleep and eating my cereal, but I didn't catch it all. But I just seen there was four guys that were arrested for trafficking. So that's sad.
Exactly. And a lot of it is not found or, you know, caught, you want to say.
Right.
So forth. But just an instance over in Sioux City just not too long ago. And it was a minor that was included. A lot of times it's minors, you know. And so that's what we really want to educate the public to be watching for this. If you see something unusual, like a young individual with an older individual, you just think something could be wrong. And this could be a truck stops, restaurants, so forth, you know.
Right.
We have a great, great, great community, and we have wonderful people, but there's things that are happening. And so that's why I'm very, very active in this.
Nice.
And so I do have brochures to give you guys.
Yep.
And if you can help support us, and you guys did with the proclamation, so thank you. So
yep.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming in, and thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
And listen, you're not in 6 months, you're not new. You got your feet wet in the deal, right?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yes.
Well, actually, I guess it's been about when I started with Ho-Chunk about a year ago.
Right.
So I guess it's been about a year or so, really.
But I'm sure you're learning every day with it.
Oh, there is, guys. It just is heartbreaking.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, very money profit thing is why it's
right.
Why it's being done. So, here, thank you, and you guys can have those. So.
Thank you so much, Pat. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, we're going to move on to B. We're going to approve Resolution 17C-001 for the adoption and approval for the interlocal agreement for the maintenance of the county of a Dakota City permanent easement to their wastewater treatment facility and transfer of title to the county for existing fire station located at 1516 Myrtle Street, Dakota City. Is anybody want to get, Alyssa, are you here for this, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Fred, you know a little bit about what's going on, right?
Correct.
Okay. Basically what's happened is a few of us board members have been negotiating and talking with the city of Dakota City, and they've been talking to the rural fire department about their building here across the street. We wanted, the county wanted to get their hands on the building for, I think we talked about this prior, of things with the sheriff's department, the health department, the road department, the weed department. It's just too convenient for the building to be across the street. So we talked about this easement of getting this easement back up to snuff. And this has probably been going on 6 months, fair statement, roughly. And they had dealt with a engineering firm, and they had a dollar amount. And so then we just decided that what we would do is take over with this interlocal agreement. We would take care of the road, get the road up to snuff. It's going to be a private road, correct? So it's going to be signed, so it ain't like it's going to be open to the general public. It's just mainly for the conducting business for the water treatment facility, correct?
Yes, and for those who have land there to also.
Right, right, the landowners. Was it five, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
Five landowners. So, anyways, that's pretty much what it's all about. Did I miss anything? Any questions? Fred, you want to add anything? Alyssa, you want to add anything? I know that Kim's looked at it, Jones looked at it, your attorney's looked at it, your people's looked at it. I think we've finally got everything under terms and conditions, and we're kosher and ready to roll with it, right? Correct? All right. So I think that's no comment on anybody. So, perfect. Okay, so with that said, I will make a motion to approve Resolution 17C-001 for the adoption of that interlocal agreement and maintenance of the road for the water treatment facility for exchange of the fire station located at Myrtle Street here across the street.
And second that.
Okay, we got a motion by myself and a second by Marty. Will you call roll?
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to C, Amy Utech. Correct?
Yes.
Dakota Thurston County Fair requesting approval for a liquor license for the event of the fair on the 3rd of August, 4th, 5th, and 6th of 2017.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds like a good time to be having a coldie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. On behalf of the
application. These are.
That's the change that they made this year, is each one has to be signed separately.
So everybody got a letter here in front of them, right? Basically, it just says on the Ag Society, time consideration, the fair will be through August 2nd through the 6th. The events that would like to apply for the liquor license are the 3rd for the tractor pull, Friday and Saturday. That's the 4th and the 5th for the rodeo. And then Saturday, the demolition derby, which is up my alley, and then Marty up your alley is the mud volleyball tournament.
Absolutely.
And then Sunday, August 6th, the Mexican style bull rodeo, bull ride. So, anyways, those are that's what they're requesting. I know it's a formality. You guys know the drill. Sheriff's Department, all the above. Yeah.
They're on board.
Yep.
Drink up.
Have some fun. Clean fun, right?
Yes,
family
fun.
Well,
said
mud volleyball.
Yeah, said mud volleyball. But Marty, I will be there.
I'm all over that.
Okay, I'm going to be there watching.
Team.
I'm going to be supporting you. So, anyways, we need a motion to approve the liquor license for the fair and the Dakota County Ag Society on those dates.
I make a motion that we accept that.
Okay. We got a motion by Marty and a second by Kevin for the approval of the liquor license for the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th for the Dakota County Ag Society affair.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Painless, right?
You'll have to sign those.
I will sign them, yeah. But it's painless.
Yeah.
Okay. Fred Kellogg, miscellaneous. Highway superintendent with the road report.
January 15th through the 26th.
Where the hell is it at?
Total road maintenance, 53 hours. When I say road maintenance, it's greater hours out on roads grading. Not too many hours this time of year. Overtime hours, 61 and a half. Tree debris and removal, 63 hours. Some guys been out cutting trees. Snow removal, 301 hours. Gravel hauled, 452 total tons. Science barricades, 4 hours. Road concerns, had a few calls, mostly for snow and ice. We listed them under grading. Some of them have been grading, but the ones you see under grading, 120th, L Avenue, M Avenue, R Avenue, 160, 190th. I can say most of them are for snow or ice. Gravel, 120th, L Avenue, M Avenue, and R Avenue. Usually it's not a formality to haul gravel this time of year, but with the weather, the raining, thawing, we have been hauling, so don't really like to, but we have.
Yeah, and you know, and I know there's been a few Januaries that I've been around on this board that, you know, Mother Nature's just been no good to us. You know, January, February, you know. I mean, when it's 40 degrees out and you get rain, I mean, it's, you get 3 inches of rain on top of frost, and it's crazy. And that's the gamble with the road department and the gravel budget. I know we're in trouble with it right now, but we just hope that things dry up or freeze, one of the two.
Yes.
Soon freeze, right?
Yeah, just soon.
Yeah. So the gravel hauling, that's actually hauled out, that $20 hauled out onto the road?
Correct.
And then do you haul your gravel in, or does a third party haul the gravel?
Some we haul. There's two aggregates that we've been using mainly.
Uh-huh.
LG Everett's out of Sioux City, which we go to their facility in Sioux City and get.
Mm-hmm.
The other is, they call it Two Rivers out of Newcastle.
Okay.
And they actually haul their product to our facility. We haul it from there.
And then the, just for my own information, the Class A is what size aggregate, or does it have fines? And is there fines in that?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Any other questions for Fred on the road report? On the road report. Okay, well, thank you, Fred.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to B. Carol Larvick, Extension Educator, UNL, to update the board on their programming impact.
We're excited to be here to tell you a little bit about what we've been
doing.
We're
excited to have you, Carol.
We're great. Wonderful, wonderful.
Never get to see you much.
There are three things that I gave you, and I have two more stuff that will come up with a thing for you also. The booklet is from the University of Nebraska, what IANR is doing, and we're part of IANR. It has a lot of extension things across the state. Some of those we do have locally here. I did give you extra ones for the two board members that were not there. We do have a sheet that's a general one about what Nebraska Extension is doing in Dakota County. It has the picture of the four of us that are here today on it, which includes Tammy, our office manager, Rinda, who works with our nutrition program, and Angela, who works with 4-H and youth, and myself, and my specialty is nutrition and food safety. So that's a general one that you can read through. You can see that we've done a lot of things. The one program I'd like to highlight today is working with the South Sioux Community Orchard. That's something that UNL has been doing for the last 3 years here, and we've done a variety of things. One of them is educational classes each year on fruit and nut production, and so we've had a lot of community members come to that, and we've helped with the actual orchard and their fruit and their nut production, and we've brought professors from the university here to be able to help us with that. And also with that, we have master gardeners, and we have three master gardeners that have done over 300 hours of volunteer service this last year for that particular project. So I just thought you'd like to know that. We also are bringing UNL students out to help with that project.
Nice.
So,
all right, my name is Brenda Sale, and I work for the state's food program. And normally I do school education, but for the last 5 years, we have been working on a program that's a national grant. It's a six-state five-year, $4 million research project. And one of the pieces that we've been working on in Dakota County was to address food security at the local level. So we started a food council here in Dakota County, and some of the major things that we've accomplished are on the sheet that I've given you. The first thing that we did was look at food need here in Dakota City. There's no grocery store, limited transportation, and limited access for people with food. So we started a food pantry in May, and since May we've had 610 people pick up food, and that has provided for 2,146 people in this town. Another project that we started was a community garden collection program and a cooperative learning garden. These two projects were designed to put healthier foods into the pantry system and to provide for seniors who have limited resources. In 2016, we put 4,352 pounds of produce back into those systems. And since we started this project 2 years ago, we put over 13,000 pounds. And a pound of produce will provide three servings of fruits and vegetables. So for Dakota County, we've provided over 40,000 servings of fruits and vegetables for low-income families in need. This project has been supported by the Voices for Food grant that we applied for and I'm the project coordinator for. But we've received over $6,000 in local community support through some local grants, Tyson Foods, Hy-Vee, Thrivent, the City of South Sioux Community Foundation. And we've received over $3,000 in local donations for the starting of that food pantry. On the back of that sheet are just some other things. We started a backpack program through a local church, 144 backpacks and went home to provide weekend support for families. In November, we wanted to provide a holiday meal for families in need. That was also by community donation. We fed 150 people at the fire station. We wanted to start a resource directory, and through this collaboration discovered that the health department was working on one, so we collaborated with them. And through our partnership, we were able to distribute that resource directory throughout the community. And also as part of this project, we're providing education so people are not only receiving produce, but they know how to use it. And 1,168 people have attended programs in 2016, teaching them how to utilize the produce that we're providing, safe handling and storing. The community collaborations are listed, the City of South Sioux City, City of Dakota City Health Department, the Dakota City Fire Department collaborates with us, Hy-Vee, Master Gardeners, the Methodist Churches, NENCAP, Salvation Army, the Sioux City Foundation, Tri-State Communication, Tyson Foods, Up from the Earth, and the YMCA. And if you'd like more information to get involved with this council to address food security, our information is there, and we also have a Facebook page.
Nice. Okay, quick question.
No.
Just one quick question. I drove by before when you guys have been doing this at the fire hall, correct?
Yeah.
How do you decipher the people that are eligible for the food?
We ask them to just sign up and tell us how many people are in their home.
Okay.
If you've ever been to the food pantry, it's pretty humbling for me to even walk in there and serve. So I think that you're not in there asking for food unless you really need it.
Right.
You know, we're not going to turn people away.
Right. Well, and I just...
We're not checking IDs or income, but...
Right. I just kind of wonder how you decipher is all.
Yeah.
Because I had a guy, he's a handicapped... ex-truck driver, and he come by my place, mm-hmm. and he just left your food pantry, and I just thought it was amazing how much food that he had,
yeah.
and how neat it was. Because I remember I was down through here, and he just come through, and he said I had to go to the pantry, and but yeah, it was very nice. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, next time you guys have one, I'd like to know about it because I just like to.
It's the fourth Thursday of every month.
Every month.
At 5:30 to 7:30.
I'd like to.
At the fire hall.
I'd like to attend sometime.
I'll send you the brochure and they have the list.
If you would. And if you don't have my email, give it to Joan and she can get it to me.
I'll send it to Joan.
That'd be great.
Having
thank
been
you.
On the board of Cardinal Christmas Baskets for the last several years and having, you know, delivered to, you know, 350 or 60 homes during the holidays, I mean, it's just amazing. I think a lot of people, just like the human trafficking we talked about earlier, I think a lot of people, until they actually see it, don't realize the need that we have. And
yeah.
we have a lot of kids in high school and junior high students deliver those baskets,
yeah.
and it really changes them to see that environment. And I know all three of my kids have gone through that, and it's a great experience. What you guys are doing is very important.
It's funny. My son did that. Excuse me, real quick, but my son did that with swimming this year. He went to Hy-Vee and they did their baskets. And he even said to me as he came home, you know, he's a little hillbilly, you know. You know, he was like, that was a lot of fun. He said that was
And Bill Garvey, who runs that, is on our council.
Yep, and I, you know, my son, he's 27 now, but the first time he delivered, took in the deal and the bag fell over and an orange rolled out and the little boy grabbed that orange. And he asked his mom if he could have the whole orange.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, at our house, you know, you would never think of that. But there are just a lot of people with a lot of needs, so I think it's great service.
It's doing some good stuff in the community. People, we sent out a letter right before Christmas because we were kind of in danger of the pantry not getting funded from its funding source. And I just sent a letter to Joan, and she shared it with the community. And I know it went to the South Sioux City because I have a friend that's a South Sioux City police officer, and he forwarded it back to me. But we got almost $3,000 from people just from that email.
Nice.
That said, hey, I can support something in my community. So that says a lot for our people here in Dakota County.
Hey, one more thing.
No.
Thank you for all that you do.
Hello, my name is Angela Abbs, and I am an educator with the University of Nebraska, and I happen to work with youth development and 4-H programs, and I happen to be one of them that we started in 2010. My gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. Happens to be robots. And so we've been doing robots for several years. In your report, that's the colored one, last year alone, I reached 800 kids between the Dakota, Dixon County, as well as the Siouxland area, working with the Siouxland Y and Camp Goodwill and with the school enrichment programs and camps. So it's been growing and thriving through that whole process. And I did bring one of the robots that the kids are working on. It is amazing what these kids can do with their problem-solving skills. I know you guys are engineers. I'm not an engineer by trade, but I've been learning with the kids right along with them because I gain so much knowledge every time they get these things out and operate them. The other flyer happens to be we are hosting a qualifier. This is our fourth year in doing that. And I just got a message from the State 4-H office, and we need volunteers. We need people to help judge. The kids have four components to their as a team member in First Lego League, and they are judged on their research projects. So some of the teams I've been working with this year, we have 7 in Dakota, and I have another one over in Dixon County I've been working with. And the theme is all about animals, so we've been researching about dogs and how you care for them and how you use them in training purposes all the way to endangered eagles. And so I know those kiddos have been watching the Florida. You guys have seen that on Facebook at all, but you can watch a baby eaglet right now in the nest in Florida. They've got a video cam on it, and I know the other ones is concerned about wolves, and I have no idea what part of the
world. Did one not hatch?
One did not hatch. That's correct, yeah.
It's I'm not a Facebooker, but I've never seen it on the news.
It's
somewhere.
Still in the nest, so I'm surprised that the parents haven't kicked it out. But if you have an interest, like I said, the kids do the research project. They also do core values, which is all about how they work together as a team. And then they're also judged on how they build their robot, the sensors they put on, the programming and coding that they use with the robot, with the software. And then the fun part that you can see, that anybody can come watch, is the First Lego League robot games, which is probably about noonish on Saturday. You'll have 17 teams in the area, and Dakota County has 5 of those 17,
wow,
which is awesome.
Where's the other 2 teams from?
Well, there's some from Wayne. We've got some from Omaha, some from Oakland, Craig, and then
right,
there's ones I have no idea. I just see their names of their teams.
Yep, yep.
There's a Chewbacca box team.
So this is at the middle school this Saturday.
That is correct, yes. So if you're wanting to volunteer, let me know as soon as possible. We have people that need to be at the tables to ref to make sure that the robot does what it's supposed to do. The kids get points. They're judged on their presentations. They're judged how they work together. They're judged on the robot. And then about 6 to 8 teams will go down to Omaha then and compete at the state level. And then the top 2 teams from the state level compete internationally. So
in the past, how has Dakota County fared?
We've usually sent a team down every year to state.
Really down to state? Nice.
Yep. And I've one of the teams that meets after school at Harney, those teachers have got it already all organized, and I know the team I'm going to meet with in Allen tonight, we've got some work to do, but there's things that the kids just pull together when it comes to that time right before competition, and it's always amazing to watch them get up and practice those skills, because I know in 4-H it really broaden my horizons and my career choices as well.
Nice.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Any questions? Like I said, if you want to volunteer, let me know. Yes. And then I just wanted to share with you, this is the curriculum or the software I've been using with the little kids. the second and third graders. That's about the 800. This is second and third graders are using these kits called WeDos. These are called EV3 robots, and of course the technology keeps changing every single year as you keep going through the opportunities for them. So, but this is what I go into the schools and use, and then I use these with camps and schools and all kinds of times.
Yeah, it's fascinating that they can put that stuff together and do those robots.
Well, actually, one of the comments from the teachers, she's one of them said, I'm amazed at the students that struggle in school, they get this.
Yep.
And it just shows that that hands-on learning, that experience where it's that hidden fun, they grasp and understand what's going on compared to someone who knows all the book knowledge and can do the math and can do the...
That's why we're all wired a little bit differently.
That's right. That's right. So everybody gets a chance to excel, and the kids love these. I usually find pieces all over the floor.
Nice.
So I have Lego eyes. I'm always looking for pieces, so... Because with floors are usually like this whenever I go into a setting, so... I've just had to learn to gear my eyes to the carpet and look for specs.
Right. Well, listen, thank you.
Yes. Yeah,
that's, thanks for all that you do.
Thank
Carol,
you very
thank
much
you for coming.
Me in.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Yes, we'll see you.
Okay, we're going to move on to, well, I don't think we need to move on, do we? Jeff? We got C. Jeff Curry. Do we need to approve this as well? Do this?
Have you guys had enough of me?
No, but anyways, it's just basically a request on the board to approve the contract with the tax valuation, what we've already for residential. So
this guy just wanted to make sure we had it.
Okay, so we needed to make another motion, I guess, on this board to approve that contract.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the contract.
Okay, we got a motion with Kevin on the tax valuation for the assessor's office.
I'll second.
Second by Marty. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, next up, Phyllis, come on down. Phyllis Obermeyer, clerk of district court, requesting the board to send a letter opposing LB 544, which will provide the elimination of the office of the clerk's district court. Takes the clerk of district court duties from the county clerk, with who are ex... I like that, that word.
Ex officio.
Yes. And the CDC to move the courts may eliminate elected clerks of district court. I know I just kind of bounced around on that, but you got the logistic of it.
That's okay. That's all right. Okay. In the packet that I just gave you there, I gave you the actual legislative bill, 544, and then a short explanation kind of breaking it down for you. In my opinion, I mean...
Hey, look, can I just recess this for a second?
Sure.
Please. I'm just gonna I just need to use the restroom. Okay?
Okay.
Seriously, just for a second. Give me just one. I'm sorry, Phyllis, okay? I know you're going to be up there for a long time. That's the reason why.
It took too long.
Okay.
Don't
kidding, Jeff.
That was
bad. Does
that
happen
every
time?
No. Never.
Okay, John. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I just need to sign off.
Okay.
Approve the law, I think, so you check the little approved boxes. Or whatever Jeff did.
I approve his, right? That's how that works.
Whose idea was this rinky dink table, anyway?
I don't know.
I'm denying his
consent. Oh, I can't believe
we don't have to do anything he says.
Could we prove it?
So you're going to hit denial.
But we approved it. Well,
what do they call a special one?
We approved his recommendation. We approved his recommendation. So we approved this denial.
You should have a special
determination by the Board of Planning is correct and
pursuant. As
Kevin goes in
the When in doubt, ask your lawyer.
I don't know what proves that thing.
You do your own thing. You know, like Jeff tells you what he thinks. And then if you agree with it, then you're also denying, you know.
Okay. Sure, sure. I guess. I would think that I'd approve his denial.
You're doing it.
But
you're not doing it to Jeff. You're doing it to
Okay. It takes me a while. This won't be the last thing. You have to walk with you slowly.
You got that right, brother.
Thank you.
Wash your hands.
Yes, always wash my hands. Are you kidding me?
He's a germaphobe.
I am a germa. Yes, I'm always. Okay, sorry, Phyllis. Thank you.
I forgot where I was.
You were right at the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'm asking you to oppose LB 544. I did an example there on the first sheet. But in the last four quarters, my office has taken in $31,829 in 4D money. Should the state take that office over, the 4D money will go to the state. In passport processing for the year of 2016, we took in $19,400. Should the state take it over, they have two options. They can either take it over and they get the money, or they take over the office and say, we're no longer processing passports. If they're no longer processing passports, I believe that's a loss to our community.
Quick question. If, let's say, for instance, passes, your office goes away, can someone else in the courthouse do those passports?
Same thing Joan said, so thanks, Joan. Actually, it would depend on, you couldn't have it like at the treasurer's office, anywhere where there's a birth certificates or the ability to take pictures. You can't have it, you know, so like the treasurer's office couldn't have it. Well, they don't do the pictures there any longer. But I don't know, you'd have to check their passport process. You have to be certified to take it. But again, to me, if the state takes it over and just says they're no longer going to process them, then that's a loss to the people of the community. If they do take it over and say, yeah, go ahead and process, then it costs the county $6.25, the minimum a day, to mail it, because you'll still pay the expenses of it. We collected in 2016, we collected $9,750 in the 10% bond fee, and we collected $34,625 in forfeited bonds. Should the county take, or should the state take it over? Right now, we're paying the county pays $36. I claim it to you guys every month for every criminal case. Should the state take it over, that amount would go to $86. That the county will pay for every criminal case that's filed. For your civil cases, it's $33 that we claim, and that will go to $83. And then, of course, the county will still have to pay the cost of all informal paupers cases, which most normally are divorces, and that is $158. So I've got an example there of what it costs, the $230 that we filed last year in criminal cases, which cost the county $8,280. Had that been state-controlled office, it would be $19,780 that you'd pay for the same cases filed. You would still pay all of the expenses for the jury expenses, the MIPS, your witness fees, bailiff costs, court-appointed attorneys, all the fees the county would still pay. And I believe that giving them the power, it's just one more step with them coming in and taking the power. And I know that you're in a budget crunch, and I want to also say that this doesn't affect me. I'm not here because I'm afraid of losing my job, because I won't be here anyway. This will be in 2018, so I won't be running for office. So I'm not here because I'm worried about losing my job. I'm here because I'm worried about the cost to the county. In the long run, it'll end up costing you money. It won't be a savings. The state's not taking over, wanting to take over the office because they want to pay more money out. It'll be a cost to the county. NACO voted on Friday, and NACO has voted to oppose this bill. So I have a list there. I know Joan already has the Judiciary Committee list, but they're asking that if you do vote to oppose, that you have a letter that we could forward to either Larry Dix or whoever that they could take with them down to Lincoln. The hearing on this bill is set for February 15th.
So with the county court, let me get this straight, and I'm thinking about this and talking to different people. So would they pretty much take over everything then? Your people would be eliminated?
Well, the bill says that they would, that the employees of my office would transfer to the state. But if you're reading, if you read it, in fact, I highlighted it online, it doesn't say that they're actually going to take everyone.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the two people in my office are automatically going to go to county and stay there.
Right.
They could go in there, and within 3 weeks, they no longer have a job because of differences of opinion. For one thing, right now, the pay would be different. Cheryl's a deputy. They're not going to pay Cheryl deputy fees at the state rate. That's not going to happen.
So overall, Trina McKenna, real quick. Overall, these monies that it costs now, that's $33, and it would go to $83. Obviously, the state would just bill the county back for that difference, right?
No. I claim every month in my claims for the cases, there's the district court costs that come out every month.
Okay.
I claim it when a case is added. You guys give me a check. I receive that check into the computer.
Okay.
That money is then paid out to the state.
Okay.
Especially on criminal, we try to collect that money back. Then it would be reimbursed to the county. If we get that money back, if they've got a bond, we've got a good chance of getting that money back to reimburse the county. But how many people do you see that set out their fines and costs, Kevin? A lot. The county court, as well as my office, has a drawer full of time pay warrants, and that's people that have not paid the fines or costs that were assessed in their case. So I would say it's less than. Well, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say less than 40%.
So from our perspective, looking at it, thinking, as we're talking about
budget,
this and that,
yep.
And we're thinking, in the back of our mind, without knowing all the particulars, you're thinking, perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just one less budget that you got to deal with. But realistically, if your budget, I'm just going to throw this number out there. I don't remember exactly what it is. Was it $5 million, your budget? I'm just kidding. Whatever it is, a couple hundred thousand. Trying to have a little fun here, but obviously it ain't working out very well for me. But anyways, let's say if it's 200.
I'm tired. I've been here for.
So if it's, I'm tired too. If it's $200,000, let's say for instance a year, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to end up? If the state would take this over, what do you think it's going to end up costing us, the county?
Well, everything that that my office claims through 629, you'll still pay, because that's all of your jury expenses. Your court-appointed attorney fees, witness fees, all of that would still come out of there. And pretty much everything on my 621 is going to, other than payroll. And same with 631. The payroll will come off of that. Well, actually, 631 might go away, but that's the smallest of the budget.
What's the selling point? The selling point or the thought process behind it? Why does the state want it?
Well, from my understanding, Chief Justice Hebikin had a district court judge complain to him about a district court clerk, and that's where it all started. But also, Justice Hebikin does not believe that there should be an elected official. Connected to the courts. Although the judges are appointed and they are retained through election, county attorneys are elected, sheriffs are elected, but now all of a sudden the district court clerk shouldn't be. And in my opinion, and this is, I worked in county court for almost 10 years before I ran for office. The difference between what my office provides to the citizens of the county versus what was allowed to be provided in county court is 100% different. If they call my office or they come to my office and they need help finding a case, finding whatever, we're going to look for it. We're going to find it for them. In county court, they were told to use a kiosk. Find your case number, come back up here, then we'll look for it. And
You know, how many people, you ever, everybody here knows how to use a computer, but there's a lot of people that come up to the counter that have no clue on how to go to a kiosk and look up the case number.
Did I read this right, Phyllis? This bill allows for the elimination of the clerk upon a vote of the county board.
Right.
It doesn't strictly...
No, what they're going to do right off the bat, well, they'll take the ex officios, which doesn't matter to us. Down the road, say I don't run, then you have the right to go to the county and say, come in and take over this office. That's how it sets right now. We were on a phone conference with Corey Steele from the state administration's office, and the question came up, so you're going to run this as a hodgepodge. You're going to have the 37 counties that are ex officios be under the county. They've already exempted Lancaster, Sarpy, and Douglas, so that they'll stay the way they are. So you're going to run it as a hodgepodge. Then you're going to have the rest of them that, if the county board wants it to, that they'll come in and take it. But if they don't want them to, then they'll let them run. And the response was, well, unless legislature is introduced later on to change that. And that's the belief of the majority of the clerks, that as soon as they get their foot in the door with this bill, the next bill out will be to eliminate the office completely. And again, I'm only looking at it from what I said, my concern for the county. Not for me, it's not going to make a difference. I did a lot of work in that office. It needed a lot of work done, and I did it willingly because it was my job and for the county. And to see all of that, well, maybe not for waste, but to have it, the complete structure of it change because the state's come in and taken it over, I just don't think it's right for the county. And I also look what happened with the assessor's office when they came in and took it over, and then how long was it before you got it all back? You don't know that that wouldn't happen at some point, too.
A big mess. Okay.
And you're still looking at it as $100,000 in wages. I can see your goal on there.
Really?
I guess I read over this, and the way I see it, it doesn't necessarily do away with the clerk of district court, but I would rather have an elected clerk of district court in this county than go with this and have the office be eliminated at a state level and then later be eliminated again.
Well, make a motion if you wish to send a letter opposing with it, and then we'll just see where it goes out on the legislation bill, and then we'll have to, depending upon where it goes, we'll have to make a decision at that time.
No, it has to be made before it goes there. Oh, you mean if it passes.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to send a letter opposing LB 544.
Okay, I'll second it. Thank you, Phyllis.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Phyllis. See, Robert Giese, Jr., it says, County Treasurer to present the 2016-17 fund balance for 6 months. Cumulative report, July through December 2016.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, our office has to publish the balance figures in the Dakota County Star 2 times a year. So this is just a formality. We come to the board and just submit it for your approval. The only thing I guess I would point out, and always in the past, the big discussion has been on the balance of the inheritance fund tax. And that is...
567?
Today it is 567. 567,000. We had to transfer, I think, 955 out of there this year. So that is down substantially from where we'd like it. But
what line is that on?
You don't have it on yours. Okay. I have it on here, and I'll pass this along for you. It's the one with the big number. Started here at 1-3.
Okay.
And then right over there, too. And so that's really the only thing I guess I would share with you as far as that goes. So, so I would ask for the board's approval.
Yeah, I mean, I got everything in front of me here from what the money's and the total in the banks and the investments and others and cash on hand, and I'd make a motion to approve Bob's report from July through December 2016 for the chair to sign the report.
I'll second that.
Call roll, please, Joan.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, you have your copy to sign, Scott.
I just signed the one right there, I think.
You can see it.
Can you get that back?
No. Thank you.
Okay, last week or 2 weeks ago, if you remember, we're going to move on to F to discuss and approve the revisions to the county burial policy. And Joan and I, if you can cut in whenever you want, Joan, but we met with, is it Moore Funeral Home? And I know Joan talked to Becker Hunt, the two that are in the county, and we did not meet with Becker, but Joan talked to him on the phone. Joan and I went over Friday and met with, what's his name, Tom or Don?
Don.
And met with him and went over some of the prices. I know Joan read all the prices off with cremation and the burials and the opening of the casket and the containers and all the above. And we go through like anywhere from 3 to 6 a year, roughly, is what we're responsible for, that they qualify for through DHS. And we've been paying a low dollar amount. And I don't think that it's really fair to either Becker Hunt or Don's facility. And as we sat down and talked to him, we had a nice conversation with him, and he basically he said the way Dixon County, he does a lot of business in Dixon County as well, and he said that they do a flat $1,800 is what they do, and if there's any monies left over in the deceased accounts, like if they had $400 or $500 or $300, they take the difference off of that, which we don't have that luxury here. Do you, Joan, is that right, if I remember right, the way we discussed, if there's any monies left over? Remember how he said if they had money in their checking account or whatever, if they were allowing $800,
we have social services that administer it for us, and I think they have to be basically broke before they qualify.
Okay.
So we don't deal with the individual.
Okay. So basically the way we looked at it is $1,800 is a good number, because sometimes it might be less than, and other times it might be more than. You know, best case scenario, it could be what was it, $1,100, $1,200, and worst case scenario was $2,300. Is that right?
I went back and looked at claims, and most of Becker Hunt's claims were $1,750.
$1,750.
He charged. We allowed $400 for opening and closing, $1,050 for cremation container, and then $300 for the outside container to brewery. So most of them were $1,750. If you take those same $400, $1,050, and $300, Marv has changed that to $2,175. That's what he asked. The $400 be $550, the $1,050 be $1,155, and the $300 be $470. Which comes to $2,175. Moore indicated that he was okay with $1,800 across the board, and then not have all of these 2-year-old, 3 to 11-year-old. Is it a cremation? Is it not a cremation?
Just a flat $1,800.
Was Marv agreeable to that, or had he been approached about that?
He hasn't been approached about that, but I think he would be agreeable to that. And then do you want to make a difference between the 1800 or a 1750 we do now and what the 2175 that Marv requested those figures go to, or you want to, I mean, Don Moore seemed to be to accept the 1800, but then when we asked him for his input, it was 2700. And then if you look at,
he seemed to be sold on the 1800.
I know he was. So I don't know when he entered those figures, if he just,
because I think, see, this is the way, I think this is the way they look at it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the way I gathered it. Depend upon what the family or however their wishes are, because, it could be as low as $600, right?
No.
No? What's the very lowest it could be?
The very lowest would probably be the cremation container, and then that would
1,100?
That would be the 1050, and then if they did not bury it, there would be no opening and closing,
right,
or no outside container. So the lowest would be 1050. There were a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, the worst case is the 27?
1750.
1750?
Yeah. There was quite a few 1750.
I don't know. He went around in circles on us a few different times, but I mean, he's a nice enough guy and everything, but needless to say, it's kind of meeting semi in the middle, you know. Like I said, you don't want to beat these guys up where they ain't making no money, because you know they do a lot of good things for people, and I know they do. People that don't have money, and I'm sure they take care of them. You know, they're not all. What's that?
I said they're the last one to let you down.
Yeah, they are. Last one to let you down. Good point. So, but anyways, I don't know what your guys' thought process. I guess I think we should. I wouldn't be, you know, opposed to the 1800 flat fee, you know, just to make it simple, and then the family gets the choice of whatever, who they want to go with. You know, he told us a little some, I don't know if they're fun facts, but they're facts, that the baby boomers in today's world is going to all cremation because they're taking that extra money and they're enjoying life, okay, buying motorcycles or traveling or whatever. Okay, this is what he tells me. Joan and I, 43% of Midwesterns get cremated, and East Coast and West Coast is 63%. They get cremated. His prediction is in the next 15 years, a casket's going to be obsolete. If that's true or not, I don't know. But it was just kind of weird to hear that's how that's going away. So, but anyways, what's the board's wishes? What do you guys want to, how do you guys want to do this? Because we're discussing it right now, discuss and approve the revisions of it, and then after that, whatever we discuss.
You think this Becker would be all right with the 1800? And is it a family choice, or is it an every other if the county's paying for it? As far as which place you use.
It's the family's choice.
Okay.
What funeral home they use.
Yeah.
Yep. They if they come to the funeral home, then they have to send them to social services. They administer for it and see if they qualify and check their checking account and all that stuff.
Okay.
And then either they qualify or they don't. And
do you like the flat 1800, Joan?
It's fine with me.
I think it's simple. It's clean.
I think if we do that, they could come out ahead on one and maybe
right, and maybe take a short. That's, I mean, it's kind of in the middle.
Yeah. So it kind of, I think it'll average out.
Yeah.
We do about 5 a year, and Marv has done all of them to date.
Yeah, I think the 1800 is fine.
I like it.
I mean, like I said, it's a shot.
It's kind of in the middle, is what it is. It, like Joan just said, and that's kind of the way we looked at it. We talked about it on Friday about it, but you know, if that's what you guys, we can consult with Marv. I guess let's just approve this today.
Yep.
And then we'll just let him know this is where we're at. You know, you're gonna win some, you're gonna lose some. That's what I like. So. With that said, I need approval for the revisions of the county burial policy to be a flat $1,800. to either Moore Funeral Home or Becker Funeral Home.
I second that.
Okay, I made the motion and second by Marty.
Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, G, we're going to approve the county, Dakota County Burial Policy as adopted September 19th, 1989, revised January 7th, 2002, and revised January 30th of 2017. So we just need an approval of the revision of the burial policy.
I'll approve it.
Okay. Got a motion by Kevin.
Second.
Second by Marty for the revision, January 17th, 2017. Call roll, please, Sean.
Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Okay, we got commissioner committee reports. Joan and I met with all the elected officials today, a few of the department heads, about the budget. I know every 6 months we'd like to meet with them and look over everything. Everybody's doing very well with their budgets. Right now we're 6 months in, so they need to be at 50%. A lot of them are right there, under. Our only biggest concern is the monies that we had to take out last year to balance the budget was like $1.8 million. So we're going to form a committee with a few elected officials and department heads, and we're going to start figuring out what we got to do and where we can cut. $1.8 million, if it was $1.5 million, I know we talked about the TIFs, the money that we get robbed out of TIFs in the county. I know we're looking at some of the our insurance's renewal. We're looking at some deductibles, you know, saving some monies there. I know the sheriff talked about some things with the jail. We got a new medical plan going on with the prisoners, so but we need to act now, sooner than later. So this committee is going to be formed up with probably 6 or 8 people, and we're going to be meeting within the next couple weeks and trying to figure out what we talked about doing the 32 hours, just out of, you know, just, and that would save like $750,000 in payroll. It's a lot of money, but you know, we kind of talked about it last year, and obviously, a lot of people can't live on 32 hours a week. They rely on 40 hours, so it makes it tough. So, but if we don't have the money to pay them, you know, it's tough. But anyways, that's what we got going on with the Budget and Finance Committee. What else? What else?
The Health Department.
Yeah, I've met with the Health Board, and there was not enough of us there to have a meeting.
There wasn't enough of you?
No, there was only 3 of us. So we did not have enough people to have a meeting.
No forum.
Okay. So.
Wow. That's never good, is it? Okay. There was close. They were close. One away. There was something else I was going to talk about, too, but I can't remember.
Did he even try?
Was there something else, Fred, that we discussed, or roads or anything? What? I can't. There was something else, and I should have made a note, but I didn't. But anyways, okay, if there's no other commissioner committee reports for the time being, let's go to Mill Emergency Business. Any?
State College sent a letter today. They are opening a new position. So anybody that a new position is now open. Wayne State College is seeking a high-energy, goal-oriented individual for the position of Director of Continuing Education and Outreach at the College Center in South Sioux City. I'll put it outside on my bulletin board.
So, yeah, if anybody's interested, you only need a doctor's and a bachelor's and a master's. And so there's not a whole lot of big criteria for the job.
The one thing that might want to be brought up is Coach Lapps.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to talk about.
We'll talk to Scott. He's on the road committee. Some of the citizens are just thought we were going to up and leave snow removal. We assured him that we would keep doing snow removal through this year. We decided we're getting to the end of snow removal, but we'll make up some kind of policy if before the beginning of next year. But
did some of the people cooperate? And
they did. They really did. They did.
We talked to them. Some of them have. The big thing is sprinkler heads to.
Yeah, they're right along the road. And we told them that, hey, listen, we just don't expect you to go out there and just try to correct things now this time of year. So, like Fred said, we make the comment to them that we're going to work on them this year. But next year, it's one of two things. You're either going to have to bury their sprinkler heads or move them. But we're going to have to get something else in writing, some type of, I don't know if it's an interlocal agreement with them, saying, hey, we got X amount of easement to go with, you know, to get rid of. But there was one guy that called for me. I think he called Joan, hung up on her. Then he called my office. I wasn't there. Asked my secretary, well, do I even work there 8 to 5? I was gone in the daytime. And I tried calling him back. He didn't answer. So I think I haven't talked to him yet. But whatever. But thank you, Fred, for bringing that up. But no, I think it's going to be fine. Everybody's understanding out there. Everybody wants us to make sure that we maintain that road. So, okay, public comment. Lou Franco, come on up.
You want me to state my name?
Please.
Lou Franco.
What's your address for the record?
619 Old Highway 20 West.
Thank you.
I have some concerns here. I, Lou Franco, am requesting that the resignation of Joan Spencer, Dakota County Clerk, and the Secretary to the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. In my opinion, Joan, you knew it was not your place to destroy the large map of Dakota County, which was to go to the assessor's office. You also knew that it was fraud to draft a false resolution, 14C015, then filed it with a register of deeds, which was a continuous of fraud of the state of Nebraska funds and the FAA for Martin Field, which is including to conspire to breach contract. You also knew that you intentionally concealed the public records for Dakota County Project number 94190, Crystal Lake Project 1994 to 1998, again to cover up fraud of Dakota County taxpayers. Now, I think there's a real issue here when there's no transparency of public records, and when there's false documents made and then filed with the Register of Deeds. I find that very inappropriate for a county official to act that way. And I pay a lot of taxes in this county, and when somebody does that, I feel that I'm not getting my money's worth.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Lou.
You bet.
Okay, any other public comment? We're good. Larry, I'm glad to see you're healthy.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
I wasn't asking you to speak. I just said, Larry, I'm glad to see you're healthy.
No, I was just wondering about.
Will you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Jackson area. Take your hat off. Be presentable. Look.
Anyway. No. Snow removal such, you know, if there's a 60-foot right of way, that belongs to the county.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken. So, and the county is not responsible for anything in the right of way.
66-foot right of way?
Well, sure not in the city anyway. And I wouldn't think it'd be in the county. As long as it's in that right of way.
Okay, so I'm with the.
Out there in Dakota Flats.
Oh, Dakota Flats?
In reference to that.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I mean, you just got to assume that if you got something out there and it gets damaged, it's.
Snooze.
What about a mailbox?
Yeah, snooze you lose. Yeah, well, we only pay so much for a mailbox.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, too. You know, it's.
See, this is the way it's been wrote up, though. I think you probably missed the last few. The way that was adopted, there was no right-of-way there. It was just the road only.
Oh.
Okay, this happened back in the 1800s,
oh.
or whenever it was.
Oh.
Okay, 1892. But it was just the road only. So that gave the county no type of right-of-way of any type of easement on to go on top on their property. That's the reason why we said, you know, sent this to them, because they have those stakes or whatever you want to call them, those reflectors. It looks like a runway out there.
Yeah,
out there at nighttime.
Yeah.
So we need room to get the snow pushed off,
yeah, right.
So it's not a liability issue for the county, you know, for any type of accidents of any sort.
But when that was originally plotted, they didn't put the proper right-of-way in there.
So right.
For whatever reason.
And that's what we're going after now, Larry.
Well, I don't even know. We've got it on a ton of place, for sure.
Right.
I just assumed that if 60-foot right of the county.
And that's and I made the comment, I don't even know who was even on the board back then, and I heard a few names, it doesn't matter, that it wasn't done properly. It would have never have passed, and I used you for an example for these people out there. I said, Larry Albanish's rotunda has done excellent and perfect. I mean, you got curbs, you got everything you need, and you had to jump through the loopholes to get that thing adopted. And that out there is just a concrete slab. I don't know how it ever happened.
I know it's difficult for a motor grader operator not to damage the grass.
Right. I understand. Because the mailboxes are only on one side of the street. That's it.
Yeah.
It's on the south side of the street.
We don't even have any. We don't do ours around
right.
In the wrong road. But I mean, it's pretty darn easy to, you know, just get just the wing in particular.
Right, absolutely.
You don't fill the sprinkler head with a grader?
Well, the thing is, especially to the north, you got to really wing it out because you know that wind's going to be blowing.
Yeah, right.
And it's just going to create, you got to get it out there, otherwise it's going to just create a...
Bigger than.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larry. Okay, no other public comment. We are adjourned. Our next meeting is going to be on February 13th. Don't forget Valentine's Day on the 14th. Anybody really cares? That's county holiday. It is 4:42.
How about public concerns? I know you and other extension ladies left, but I think we should do like a group safety thing if we're going to be having a mud volleyball team.